Good morning, everyone. It's good to have all of you with us. We have some visitors, I think some for the first time, and we're grateful for your presence. If you haven't yet filled out a visitor card, we hope you'll do that before you leave. To all of our members, after the conclusion of our worship, we ask all of you to stay for our congregational meeting that we'll have right after the closing prayer. To those of you who are visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We want you to linger as long as you need to stay. We just want you to know we'll be gathering back in here for that congregational meeting for our membership. We started this month a series on the healthy church. And the first lesson that we talked about is the idea that a healthy church will always be a church that is a growing church. We talked about just as you would look at a plant, and if that plant isn't producing fruit, or if that plant is not getting larger and stronger, then you wouldn't consider it a healthy plant. The same is true about a church. While the vital signs and life signs and the standard of what marks that plant to be healthy are understood, likewise for a church, if it's not growing, it's not a healthy church. Perhaps numbers may not always rise, but there should be evidence within the numbers of that membership that there is growth and growing in their lives, evidencing itself by the fruit bearing within that membership. We also talked about that a healthy church will be an active church, a church that has leaders who will dedicate themselves to leading, servants who will dedicate themselves to serving, and about members who walk in their life. They live a healthy lifestyle of walking in love, walking in light, and walking in holiness. So today we are following along with this theme of being healthy as a church by recognizing that to be a healthy church, we have to be a disciplined church. Just like you look in your own life that for me to lose weight, for me to build stronger health, I have to implement in my life a system of discipline. Some path by which I learn to grow stronger, my path by which I learn to get healthier. When I was in high school, I used to be the drum major in my high school band and in my college band. And when we practiced, everyone was expected to be there and to work hard and to improve on their own part in their music playing, as well as their function in the overall landscape of the marching show. If we had a slacker, it was my job to be the drum major and get in their face and let them know, that's not the way to do that. You need to do this. Move your feet this way. You need to play louder. Don't move. That was the thing I said the most. Don't move when you're standing at attention. And you had to deal sometimes firmly and fairly with everyone so that everyone... Are we all getting a warning? Okay. I'll wait till we get past our warnings. But if we deal firmly and fairly with everyone, then that discipline was resulted in the fact that the band performed well, the band looked well, and everyone thought we did a great job. So too, when we try to implement discipline in our personal lives and in our collective life, sometimes we have to recognize that if we don't implement discipline, the results will always be worse than if we do nothing. Just like if as a drum major I ignored that person out of line, or as a drum major if I ignored that person who was not playing the music right, the result would always be something less than what we goaled as a church, as a band. And as a church, our goal is not our own. As a church, our goal is God's. And so this morning, that's what I want us to talk about. What is it that will make us a disciplined church, creating in us the result of being a healthy church? Well, the first reality is that if we're going to be a disciplined church, it will be that we begin with the discipline of authority. As a drum major, I wasn't in charge. I was given instructions about what to implement whenever I was in charge of the band. And so I listened to what my band director said. I listened to what my assistant band director said. And there was actually a time in my life as a high school band director when I had to listen to what the principal said. No, it wasn't because I was in trouble, but because something happened during a game and we had to immediately exit under the stands at Churchill High School in San Antonio, Texas. And a fight broke out between the baritone section, and I had to implement my discipline, and I had to listen to what the principal told me I did wrong. But a disciplined church is a church that begins with the discipline of authority. Notice in Acts chapter 2, the text where we begin. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After saying those who had received his word were baptized, it says in verse 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Not listed probably first for any emphasis, but yet is it ironic that the very first thing that as a church we're told that they were devoted to is that they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That they understood that there was this sense of authority that the apostles were the ones they needed to listen to understand exactly why and who and what they would be. And so too, when we as a church recognize that if we're going to be a healthy church, it's going to be because we have begun with the discipline of authority. That in 2 Peter chapter 3, I said chapter 1, sorry, verse 3, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter makes this statement. He says, seeing that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you can become partakers of the divine nature. So the apostle says that look at what happened. For you becoming a partaker of the divine nature, it has happened because God has granted us everything. The apostles didn't say, hey, look, we came along and aren't you glad that you elected us to be your own apostle? What Peter says is God has granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness so that you can become partakers of the divine nature. A healthy church begins with that discipline that God is the one who has granted to us everything we need to know. Promised in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit guided those apostles into that everything pertaining to life and godliness. All truth. Everything Jesus needed to say to the people, He spoke, and the apostles remembered what Jesus said because the Holy Spirit guided their memory. But not only was it promised, it was executed. The Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2, and they began to speak in tongues. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit, when He came to us, gave to us the mind of God. He gave to us combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, those mind thoughts of God that you needed to hear. And notice 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Talking to the church at Corinth, Paul says, beginning in verse 17, for this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. That the unity of the teaching of the apostles was clear from what Paul said. That the Holy Spirit guided them into all the truth, and everything that they taught the church to do was the same, consistent, all throughout. And to Timothy was given the charge, given to him by the apostle, to proclaim not Timothy's view, but to declare what was the discipline of the authority that would make them healthy. And that is the teaching of the Word of God. Making it absolutely final. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. That's why John would say in 2 John and verse 9 that we are not to go onward beyond the gospel of Christ. Because when we go beyond the gospel of Christ, we lose the Father, we lose the Son, and we would lose the Spirit. It isn't a message that's new. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says that the way of man is not in himself. So the first time a church really becomes engaged toward health is when they start to understand it begins with the discipline of authority. Quit listening to your heart. Quit listening to the radio waves and the TV. Quit listening to the culture that's all around you. And start listening to God. That's what makes us healthy. You may have seen the little meme that has come across your Facebook page. It keeps coming up every week in mine. About something that someone did when 50 years ago you were supposed to drink whole milk. And then 25 years ago now we have to drink skim milk. And then around 15 years ago they decided, no, you can't have skim milk. There's things in milk you need to have, so you need to drink 2% milk. And it resets the story because in the last 50 to 100 years, we haven't figured out how we're supposed to eat healthy. Because we're not listening to the same source. But if we're going to be a healthy church, there's only one source we're supposed to listen to. And it isn't my idea. Or yours. It's the discipline of the authority of the Word of God. Secondly, every healthy church will act in a disciplined way. You know, there's always the glory of feeling good. As many of you know, that Don Hooten has battled with his weight. I used to be as heavy as all of you were when you graduated from high school when I started elementary school. That was Don Hooten. And so I've always struggled with my weight. And I remember once in my life, I have a very good friend who also struggles with his, except his is much more a struggle. And I was trying really hard to impress on him as a preacher that, you know, if you're going to stand up in front of people and you're going to preach about discipline, then it'd be good if they could see in your life that discipline resultant. And I said to him what I would always get so mad at someone else in my life, not my wife, saying to me. And that person would always say it to me while they are sitting there across the table from me, eating everything in front of them, including that pie I can't mention, and not walking and probably having a waistline bigger than me. And they would always say, you know, Don, if you'll get out there and you'll walk every day, you'll feel so much better. Physician, heal yourself would always come to my mind. And then there I was sitting across the table to my friend doing the same thing, thinking, oh, Don, what a hypocrite you are. A healthy church will act in a disciplined way. The reward of getting there is always painful. The personal exercise of discipline will always take us paths that we don't like to go. It's never comfortable. Yes, it is true that when you exercise for your health and your physical body, you will feel good. Tell that to the person as they're sitting there running. Not sitting there, that's a paraphrase, funny thing. Sitting there running. Sorry. Okay, as they're running. Sweating. Muscles aching. Like someone just told me this week, as they had been moving rocks, rock after rock after rock, that they could hardly walk up the stairs. Whoever said being in a church that's healthy is always feeling good. The Bible says that God disciplines us for our good. And that starts with me understanding that I have to discipline me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul says to Corinth, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. And I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul says that as a Christian, there must be in my life implementing this reality of self-discipline. And there is nothing comfortable about that. And so to us as a church, if we're going to be a healthy church, we have to act in a disciplined way. That doesn't mean that when you come to worship, you feel good. That doesn't mean that when you have conversation with other Christians, they make you feel happy. It means that we're living our lives to be disciplined so that we give glory and shine as light in a world of increasing darkness. Even notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Even as you've partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning. Notice beginning in verse 25. Paul recounts, in the same way Jesus took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." But notice the next verse. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the bread, drink of the cup." What is this self-examination that we engage in during the Lord's Supper? I don't know about you, but most of the times when I partake of the Lord's Supper, the result is that I'm not smiling. I'm not telling you you're wrong if you smile. But I'm telling you that the result of true self-examination oftentimes reveals before us our own shortcomings and our own weaknesses. And a church without discipline is like a city without law enforcement. That if we don't have people enforcing the laws around us, then we just live our lives in fear constantly that someone will take advantage of us. The church is not intended to be religious playhouses without God's presence. But what it is engaged to be is, if we are to be a healthy church, we will be a disciplined church who have begun the discipline of authority by acting in a disciplined way. We can't let God's ways be replaced by human desire. Otherwise, worship becomes vain. Fellowship becomes nothing more than socially interacting with people and asking them how the weather is, instead of the spiritual realities of what God has called us to live in our lives. We have to replace victory over sin. We have to replace victory over sin into the conversations, when all we want to talk about is how your IRA is doing. A disciplined church is a church that acts in a disciplined way. Even our worship will manifest that. And then last, and the final point is this. A healthy church works at that regime. I want you to think about that. It works at it. If you're working at something, you're going to be constantly aware of how imperfect you are. When you get out and you run that mile, Don Newton hadn't got there yet, and you're exhausted, your muscles are burning, and your lungs fill with gas that it cannot even fill up, you think, why tomorrow should I run? What about you as a Christian? A healthy church works at that regime. It doesn't accomplish it perfectly every time it engages. Anytime someone goes into the gym for the very first time, they get a lesson on how to use the machines correctly, don't they? And then they go through the cycle, and if you were like me the very first time that happened, I used half of the machines the wrong way. And it hurt me more, so I'm just not going to go anymore. Well, Well, that's the way a lot of people are with their faith in Christ. I'm not going to go to that church because they remind me that I'm a sinner. I'm not going to go to that church because they tell me that the way I'm doing this in my life is wrong. I'm not going to go to that church because they say I'm not supposed to wear this, I'm not supposed to do this with my kids, I'm not supposed to do that. A healthy church works at that regime of being a disciplined church. And notice the writer of Hebrews, while the context is around the aspect of being those who suffer or being those who do what's right, the apostle still connects parental discipline to that truth. Notice Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges everyone whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we much more rather not be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, does not seem to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, get mad at the church when there are people that need you to work with them. Get mad at the group because, boy, they want me to do that. Why isn't everyone else taking care of that? Or read what verse 12 says. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. A healthy church works at that regime. It will experience difficulty. It will find people unhappy with each other. Sometimes that experience is a growing process. And if you are part of this church, you're part of that growth. Every church that's healthy is only healthy because they strive to be disciplined. And the only way you physically are ever healthy is because you follow a regimen of discipline. Now, I'm going to make one last application, and then the lesson's yours. In our modern world, when we start talking about discipline and the discipline of living healthy, my good friend Ben Lee will tell you, you've got 20 minutes, you've got 30 minutes, you need to get up and you need to go to the gym. As if that's the only way we can get healthy. I'm not trying to be mean on Ben. But in fact, the thought occurs to me, because I've gone to the gym, I have gym equipment that I've let collect dust on. 100 years ago, there weren't gyms. 100 years ago, there weren't walking paths. 100 years ago, there weren't football fields that the community went to that had a nice little running track around it that you could run without worry about falling and hurting yourself. What has changed is, I suppose, that we're a sedentary society. We sit behind computer screens, we drive in cars, and we implement those activities so that we can stop being so sedentary. Agreed, understood. But I want to tell you about my granddad. My mom's dad was a rancher in South Texas. He would get up by 4 a.m, go check on all of the cattle, make sure they were fed, and come back in, check the chickens, pull the eggs, bring them back in, and just as the light is beginning to dawn, he would walk through the back door. Not because I was there, he told me that was the case. He'd walk through the back door, sit down for his breakfast that my grandma had made for him. He'd have his rubber boots on, even if it was a dry, wet South Texas day, which was probably 9/10 of the year. And he ate his breakfast. He thanked the Lord for it. He went and laid down for about an hour. Then he got back up and he started working again. And the reason that so impacts me is because I would go down every summer and spend time with my mom's family that way. That's how I learned, I know you don't believe it, to bale hay, to do all sorts of things with cattle that I thought I would never do, like brand them. And rode my first horse, etc., etc. When on a Sunday morning, because he was a deacon in the church in Pleasanton, it was 8 o'clock in the morning and he came to the door and all of us grandkids were still sleeping in our bed and he said it was time to get up. Now he sang it to us. It's time to get up. And I told him that where I grew up, where I was at home, I didn't get out of bed till 8:30. He said, I'm too tired. And he said, get out of bed. I've been up long before you. And then I saw it. Ladies and gentlemen, the world will see if we're a disciplined church. They will see it in your life. They will see how you talk to your friends about Jesus Christ. They will see how you talk to your spouse and how you talk to your children. They will see it how you work with your employer. And they'll even see it how you drive your car. But it has to begin with us. And that's how we are healthy. If we'll begin with the discipline of authority, act in that disciplined way, and keep working at that regime, health will be the result, not the cause. It will be the result. Give God your heart. If this morning you're a Christian and you need to be right with Him, give God your heart. And today, if you're not a Christian and you know Jesus teaches, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, then why are you waiting? Give God your heart as together we stand and as we sing.